You're listening to the Orlando Sentinel's College Gridiron 365 podcast. Hosts Brant Parsons and Matt Marshall give their perspective on the hottest topics in college football. Now let's get on with the show.
It's time for another college football conference preview. With Matt Marshall, I'm Brant Parsons, and it's time to do the Big 12 conference. And no, we're not talking about Big 12 expansion or any of that other stuff that seems to be going on around the conference. We are talking about on the football field, Big 12 football. And as much as there's a lot of stuff off the field, some of it we'll touch upon in our Big 12 preview, Matt. We will not be going into expansion. We are going to talk about what is going to take place when these teams, these 10 teams that are in the conference, take the football field.
Yeah, you know, this is one of the conferences, I think, of all the Power Five conferences that comes into this with so much question marks. You know, you look at the fact that, you know, they have stuff going on off the field. We talk about expansion. You look at a program like Baylor that's going through its own issues off the field as well. I mean, again, these are all things that I think are going to be questions going into the early part of September before we actually kick things off. So this is one of the conferences that I'm pointing to is it's got a lot of things that they'll have to deal with, as you mentioned, off the field before they actually get on the field.
And we know the story. Two seasons ago, the Big 12 shut out of the first college football playoff. Last year, though, Oklahoma found their way in, played Clemson in the Orange Bowl. And if you look at this Big 12 conference heading into this year with the players they have coming back, my number one storyline heading into the year is going to be Oklahoma. And with that talent returning, not just Baker Mayfield at quarterback, but so many other skill positions coming back, are they the team in the Big 12 that's going to get back into the playoff again this year? Certainly heading into the year, you look at this Oklahoma team and think that they're the preseason favorites in this conference.
Yeah, you'd have to think that. I mean, you look at what you mentioned, the talent they bring back. It starts at the top with Baker Mayfield at quarterback. You know, Samaje Perine, running back, has been a solid addition to this team over the past couple of years. They've got great skill positions at wide receiver. I think offensive line, they're going to be a little suspect. You know, a couple spots they have to fill out. You know, they had longtime center Ty Darlington, you know, a Popka High graduate. You know, he's gone now, so they have to find someone to step in that hole and you know, move and do something there as well. One of the things I'm more impressed with Oklahoma is this is more about a lot of the things that happened off the season. When you look at their coaching staff, you look at what, you know, they were able to actually have some continuity. You know, after a year where Bob Stoops went through and kind of shook up his whole staff and went out and hired an offensive coordinator in Lincoln Riley and, you know, went in and tried to upgrade the offense by adding it, maybe moving, making it more of a multi-dimensional, faster-paced offense. We saw the result last year. They added almost close to 7 points more per game scoring. They had almost more than 50 yards per scoring last year. So, I mean, this staff right now is really at its peak. I think you've got the talent there. The only thing that's really going to be the question mark is this schedule. As you look at early on, they've got some tough battles to face.
Opening up with Houston, third game of the year, they welcome Ohio State. Then when they start their Big 12 conference schedule, it's at TCU the week before their annual showdown with Texas. We are going to learn about this Oklahoma team. We're going to learn a lot about this Oklahoma team early in the year, aren't we?
Yeah, we really are. And you mentioned it starts with that game against Houston. You know, we saw what the Cougars were able to do against Florida State last year in winning the Peach Bowl. We know that they're going to be the favorite to win the American. They're probably going to be one of the favorites to try to get in the college football playoff again under that, you know, group of five golden ticket situation. So that's a tough game for them. But then, you know, you face an Ohio State team that only returns six starters, but is loaded and possibly one of the best talented teams that Urban Meyer has ever faced. And then, as you mentioned, then you go to TCU, which you know that the Horned Frogs are an up-and-coming program. They put up a lot of points. It's going to be a tough battle there. I mean, it really came down to a missed two-point conversion last year, you know, for Oklahoma to win that game. And then you got Texas. So if Oklahoma survives that first month and a half, we'll know how good this team really is.
Now, we did say we'd have to talk about some off-the-field issues, and we're going to combine them in on our second storyline of the year, and that, of course, is with the Baylor Bears. And the off-field stuff, bigger than what we're getting into, but it is something that is going to linger over this program heading into this year and beyond. New coach Jim Grobe, not Al, takes over at Baylor after all the scandal and whatnot over the offseason. That changed the makeup there. You've seen guys that have decommitted. You've seen some of the younger guys transfer out. But talking about this Baylor football team this season. They're still loaded. They still have guys that can make plays, and they're still a contender in the Big 12, depending on, and we've talked about this in a couple of different places, depending on how they react through the adversity that they're going to have to face playing with a new coach and everything else that has surrounded this program.
Yeah, I mean, and that's going to be the key part of it, because I mean, they've got the talent. They've done a really good job. You know, one of the things that Art Briles did do over the last, you know, decade or so was recruit really well, and he's able to get a lot of talented players into that system. And you know, it starts there again at top with at Seth Russell at quarterback. He's a guy that had a great start last season, looked like he was on his way to helping this team possibly get to another Big 12 championship, but then got hurt, suffered a neck injury that really required surgery and kept him out the rest of the season. He's coming back healthy. I think he will be a huge factor for this team, not only just with his arm and his legs, but I think as a leadership role, because you really need a guy who could step up, who can, you know, calm people down, calm the young guys down, you know, really kind of being able to take charge when you need that on the field as well. And as we mentioned several times in other places, you look at the schedule. I mean, they open up with one of the easiest non-conference schedules in the country. And then and it wasn't until about late September that they get their first test, which is against Oklahoma State. So, I mean, if they could survive the early on, kind of get their legs under them as they move forward, I think it's going to be fine. But make no bones about it. I mean, this team is going to have to answer these questions over and over again about the off-the-field issues. And that's going to be a distraction. It's up to Jim Grobe to make sure it doesn't become too big of an distraction. And he's also got to worry about, as you mentioned, that if this team somehow were to lose a game early on, you know, how do they respond? Do they come back? Do they come back with, you know, and continue to stay focused? Or do they kind of fall apart because they're letting everything else around them being too much about it? I think that's the biggest key for this team as we go into the season.
They say coaching, you should get 3 years, maybe five, to get your program really into your image. Texas, not necessarily one of those places that has that kind of patience, but here we are, year three of Charlie Strong. The seat is still hot. We are not talking about Texas in our opening storylines as a team that really can expect to compete. We don't expect them to compete with an Oklahoma, even a TCU or a Baylor. But this is the third new offense, third new everything for Charlie Strong. But the patience starting to wear thin in Austin. And I think, at least from my vantage point as an outsider, that this year there has to be some visible signs of improvement with this Texas program, which is still a young program because of the guys he's brought in, for Charlie Strong to stick around there beyond this season.
Yeah, I think he's got maybe another year. I mean, unless there's just a total breakdown this year, unless this team, you know, doesn't win six games, if they maybe finish, you know, 4-8 or something like that, that would be the only situation where I could see them maybe getting rid of Charlie Strong. I think there's some positives for this program moving forward. I think Strong's done made a great decision in bringing in a guy like Sterling Gilbert, their new offensive coordinator, spent time, you know, at Tulsa, puts up a lot of, you know, a lot of points, is kind of more of that offense we're used to seeing, that fast-paced, hurry-up style offense that we've seen at schools across the country, that we're seeing a lot in the Big 12 with the Baylors and the TCUs. I think Texas, unfortunately, just got caught up in being in the past, you know, still kind of running that traditional pro style offense. I think Charlie Strong is now realizing, much like Bob Stoops did at Oklahoma, that you're going to have to put points up and you're going to have to put up a lot of yards. And I think that's what he's going to be able to do. I think Gilbert will help that. I think another positive is Shane Buechele, the freshman quarterback, who appears to be the most likely candidate to take the starting job. I mean, he's a guy that, from everyone has said, has a strong arm. He's a prototypical style quarterback. He's a guy that can run Gilbert's offense really well. I think it'll get the ball out to a lot of talented players. Defensively, this team is going to be there as well. Vance Bedford is the defensive coordinator. They've kind of showed some improvements the last couple of years. I think maybe they could do the same sort of thing again this year. And another thing that helps Charlie Strong, he put together a really strong recruiting class this last year. One of the best recruiting classes he's had since he's been there. I think that's going to help him as well. But it's not going to be easy, because they open up on a Sunday night against Notre Dame. They travel to California. They travel to Oklahoma State, and they have the Oklahoma game all within the first 5 or 6 weeks of the schedule. So we're going to know this Oklahoma, like much like we did about Oklahoma, we're going to know about this Texas team within the first month and a half of the season.
Yeah, eight starters back on that defense, but if they don't get better, it doesn't mean much. But you have to think that they will get better at Texas. That's one of that's one of the teams I'm looking forward to following this year and just seeing what kind of results they get. looking at the rest of the Big 12, our fourth storyline, we were trying to do four storylines for every conference, and it's really a question of who could be the surprise team, and obviously Texas is one of them, but we haven't talked about a TCU. We haven't talked about an Oklahoma State, which is someone who is high on your preseason countdown, a team always electric on offense, but really loaded with players that they have coming back after a strong year. But what are some of the surprise things that you could see coming out of this conference this year?
Well, I could see Oklahoma State winning the conference. I mean, I honestly can. I mean, I know, you know, some people maybe have them picked, you know, to finish third or fourth in the conference. But, I mean, I look at what Mike Gundy has here. He has over 16 returning starters, 9 on offense, led by junior quarterback Mason Rudolph. I mean, he's a guy who shared some time last year with J.W. Walsh. You know, they kind of did that rotation on the quarterback situation. Rudolph is the guy, and he's going to be the guy who's going to probably carry this offense. They've got tons of talent at the skill positions at wide receiver. They bring back Chris Carson at running back. I mean, again, this offense is going to put points up. And I think defensively, this is going to be a little bit of a change for them. They've got a lot of great talent coming back on the defensive side of the ball as well. So they're again, a team, much like some of these other Big 12 teams. You look at their non-conference schedule, it starts out pretty easy. Southeast Louisiana, Central Michigan. But they do face Pittsburgh, and then they go to Baylor. So again, early on, they should be able to get their feet on the ground, but I think this is a chance for them to maybe make a big statement if they beat a Baylor at Baylor and then go on the next week and face a Texas team and win there as well.
Looks like the Big 12 schedule makers maybe learned a thing or two, not putting all the big games at the end. They've spread them out this year, which should make it a little more fun throughout the entire college football season. Players to watch in the Big 12, and obviously one of the main ones we've touched upon a little bit, but can get back a little deeper with it now, but Oklahoma quarterback Baker Mayfield, he's the guy that controls Oklahoma's destiny, especially on offense, but he is the top guy coming back. He'll be the quarterback for the Sooners and really settled into that role last year and became an elite quarterback in college football.
Yeah, he really did. He's a guy that's kind of, you know, has that swagger. I think if you're a coach looking for a quarterback to lead your team, he has that swagger. He's not afraid to go out there and get into someone's face. He's not afraid to talk a little trash, you know, a little smack on the field, you know, with some of the defensive guys. So I think in a way that's what kind of helped him. We saw that a little bit last year. I think you're going to see it again this year. You know, he threw for over 3,700 yards, had over 36 touchdowns. Excuse me. He's a guy that I think really can, you know, elevate this Oklahoma offense. You know, again, we mentioned Samaje Perine. He rushed for over 1,300 yards. But I think Mayfield really kind of provides them with that kind of calming stability, so to speak, when it comes to this team. And you usually don't hear the words calm and Baker Mayfield in the same sentence, because he does have a way of kind of overhyping sometimes, too much so that the coaches have to kind of pull him back a little bit. We saw that a little bit last year. I think he's going to mature a little bit in this offseason. I think, you know, getting to the college football playoff and losing to Clemson the way they did, I think he's hungry and he wants to get back there as well.
Yeah, key number, along with those 36 touchdowns, only 7 interceptions. That's a key when your quarterback can make that many plays and not cost too many. Cost the team too much with the turnovers and a bonus players to watch here. And it's what you mentioned, one of them at running back and Perine. Also, Joe Mixon comes back. When you have running backs that can take some of the pressure off the quarterback, that allows Baker Mayfield, I think, even more liberty to perform because they have such a strong running game for the Sooners.
Yeah, I mean, again, that's something that Oklahoma's been known for, is having strong running backs. I think that'll help their situation as well. If you could take pressure off of Mayfield, not make it to the point where he has to carry this team, put them on his shoulders and carry them, you know, to the end zone all the time, I think that's only going to help them as well.
Another quarterback to watch, we touched upon him a little bit also, Seth Russell comes back for Baylor, and another guy that the offense is dictated by him, and a lot of Baylor success this year will probably determine on how he plays, how healthy he can stay, and how efficient he can be at the quarterback position.
Well, yeah, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, you look at the numbers he's able to put up. I mean, last year, in only playing in you know, half a dozen, six, seven games, he put up 29 touchdowns. You know, that's an incredible amount of scoring, you know, in this offense. But again, that's what Baylor does, especially against weaker opponents. They're going to put up big numbers as well. So he's a guy, like I said, you know, he can throw the ball. You know, he's got strong legs. You know, he's able to run. I think the biggest factor for him is coming off that injury is taking that first hit, you know, getting in the pocket, getting that first hit, getting up and being able to do what he has to do as well. And again, as I mentioned before, I think what I'm looking for more than any of the physical attributes are the mental things, the things about being a leader, stepping up and making sure that your players don't get their heads down when things don't go well, making sure that you're able to keep them focused on things, you know, keep the off-the-field stuff off the field and not have to worry about that where you're getting on and you're playing in some of those games. Because again, like we mentioned, Oklahoma State, at Texas, at Oklahoma, I mean, those are all games right now that are going to be key for this Baylor team.
And one benefit for him, talk about running backs, four of the top eight returning rushing yards per game are in that Baylor backfield. Lots of explosiveness in that offense. A guy that you mentioned, another one that we're going to talk about, and that is the Texas quarterback, Shane Buechele, and a guy that it's all based on what we think he can be, but all the signs are pointing that he can really start a renaissance in Texas and take over this program immediately and really start to change things under Charlie Strong.
Yeah, I think he's key. Of all the players on this, you know, Longhorns roster, you go up and down. I think Shane Buechele is the most important one for Charlie Strong this year because he needs a quarterback to step up who can make plays. I think the last 2 years of Charlie Strong's, you know, first, you know, tenure so far, or the first 2 years, so to speak, of his tenure, I think his biggest downfall has been developing a quarterback. I just don't think he's had anyone that's been able to find any sort of consistency offensively on the field. You know, Jared Hurd struggled a little bit. You know, Tyrone Swoops struggled a little bit. Both those guys shared some time last year, you know, at the position. I think he needs a guy like Buechele to come in, you know, step up, start making plays, show that he's the ability to run, you know, Sterling Gilbert's offense and put some points up. Because, winning cures all things. If they go out and they win some games, let's say they beat a Notre Dame and they roll to maybe a 3-0 start or 4-0 start, and then Buechele's able to do that, I think that's all going to kind of snowball into bigger and better things for Texas. So they need him to come out. He's an early enrollee. He's been in the program for at least, you know, 5 or 6 months. They need him to come out and have a strong showing, and especially early on in that bright lights at Sunday Night Football against the Fighting Irish.
Now my favorite part of our podcast, we put him at the end to reward people who listen, but it's time to make predictions, and no divisions to pick in the Big 12. I'm not going to ask you to predict Big 12 expansion. I'm just going to ask you your prediction for the Big 12 this year.
Well, I think Oklahoma is my favorite, you know, going into it, because, again, as we mentioned, I think you look at what Baker Mayfield provides. I think you look at this team has been there. Most of these players have gone to the college football playoff. They know what it takes to win. They were close. They got beat by Clemson. Now they want to continue that kind of streak. I think this has been a quiet offseason, so to speak, for Oklahoma. I think that's going to help them out as well. I also look for an Oklahoma State program to probably be the number two team there as well, because, I think that Mike Gundy has a program that's got lots of talent. They just need to find a defense that could be able to shut someone down. It's only going to take, you know, a couple wins here and there because they don't have divisions. Oklahoma State could find its way into the title game.
I was trying not to pick Oklahoma, and I looked at Baylor and 22-5 last 3 years, and all the running back talent returning and quarterback, but I just I can't look past maybe the morale part, or as you talk, or the mental part at Baylor. I want to take Oklahoma State, but it seems every year there'll be one or two games where their defense just lets them down. So I'm going to agree with you. I think Oklahoma, I think not only are they a team that can win the Big 12, I think they're a team that will find themselves not just on the outskirts of the playoff, but one or a two seed possibly even heading in. If they get those wins early, if they beat Houston and Ohio State, which they're certainly capable of doing, they get the early win at TCU, they've set a nice path for them the rest of the way. And I think they're a veteran enough team to be able to handle those early games. I think when the playoffs come around, Oklahoma is staring at a home bowl, you know, or whatever they want to call it, as one of the top two seeds. I just, it's tough to pick against this Oklahoma team going into this year, just because it just seems like they have all the parts on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, and, you know, that's one of the things. I mean, you talked about the top. It's, you know, I look at Oklahoma, I look at Oklahoma State. I will say this, and I'll give our listeners a little bit of a treat. I would look at, you know, I'm interested in following teams like Iowa State and Kansas as well this year. Iowa State comes with a new head coach, Matt Campbell, who we know had success at Toledo, runs that kind of, was able to put together big offensive numbers with, you know, kind of the same sort of offensive system that we've seen around the country, kind of a spread type system. I like to see that kind of development at Iowa State. I think David Beatty, I know Kansas didn't win a game last year. I think Kansas could probably win a couple games, maybe get two or three games this win. I mean, again, those are programs that have consistently been at the bottom of the Big 12. I want to see how they kind of, under coaches who are semi-new, kind of make their way up in the standings as well.
And it should be fun to watch Mike Warren for the Cyclones, their top running back, guy returning, had over 1,300 yards last year, and see how he flourishes in that new offense. Top to bottom, the Big 12, interesting heading into the year, and we'll see when the season starts if there's more than 10 teams in the future of the Big 12. But for now, that is our Big 12 conference football preview. More conference football previews coming up as we continue to span the globe as we get closer and closer to the college football season. Subscribe to us, link to us, share us with a friend. Get people listening. Thanks for listening to this one. We'll be back soon with another college football conference preview, College Gridiron 365.
The College Gridiron 365 podcast is produced by the Orlando Sentinel and hosted by Brant Parsons and Matt Mershell. Come back often and be sure to add the College Gridiron 365 podcast to your RSS and iTunes feeds. Follow everything college football at OrlandoSentinel.com.